different, nice and clean. And so we just thank everybody who helped contribute to that project. And so like the old renovation show says, on to the next one. And of course, we're right here upon the holidays and all, so we're going to definitely, before we do anything else, any kind of fundraisers and such, we'll get through the holidays. And it's hard to believe the holidays are here, but they are here. And so got Thanksgiving coming up and then Christmas time. And of course, this is busy for everybody, but definitely a busy time around Calvary Baptist Church and Calvary Children's Home with the tree lot and all. And so I know that there was a group that met over at the tree lot yesterday to help preparations, setting up for that. So if you were a part of that, appreciate you being part of that. But anyway, we will jump right into things tonight and get busy on our prayer list. And good to see Brother Chuck and Sister Cece with us tonight. And had great results with the heart cath on Monday. And did not have to put in any stents. Do not have to have a bypass of no kind. But Brother Chuck did mention walking in, he does have a doctor called back and said he does have congestive heart failure. And so give him some medicine for that. And with his good health habits he has at this point in his life. Hey, you and me both, brother. You and me both. You and me both. Now. Living in the now, aren't we? But with his good health habits he has now. And some medication, and of course the answered prayer with them not having to do what they could have done. I know the Lord will take care of you and see you through that for sure. But praise the Lord, and we serve a God who answers prayer and who continues to answer prayer. Let's continue to remember Miss Connie Norton as she recovers from her procedure at home. Brother Jeff having surgery next Thursday, the 17th. And then, Hassan, I got your voicemail. I couldn't make out what date you said.
The
24th,
I think it is.
Yeah. 13?
The
13th,
I'm 26. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, we're praying for you. And, but let's remember Hassan as he goes to have a procedure. All right, here soon. And I guess we've had three or four this month of November, and as I say, get it in before the new year. And so let's remember these requests again. Let's remember Ben and Barbara Davis. That's our visitors, old friend of mine who's been visiting, and they did request prayer for Sunday night. They were here Sunday night, and they're going through some hardships, mother son relationship. And so remember them, if you would, in prayer. And then Brother Jack Henderson with his back situation. Does anybody know if he's seen the doctor yet?
I think he's doing better.
Okay. Remember him. And then, of course, Miss Jackie's great-grandson. Remember him. Speaking of great-grandchildren, Miss Claudia Darby's great-granddaughter. Remember her. Remember Miss Claudia as well. Also, another visitor we've been having pretty regular is Ricky. And this is a friend of the family that's been coming, whose kids go to school with Lily. That's the best way I can describe it. Ricky actually grew up at the children's home when they were over off of down Windy Hill Road, Atlanta Road area.
Smyrna.
And Ricky and his brother. So I need to get his last name. But Ricky put in a prayer request. He was going to have a liver biopsy on Tuesday, yesterday. I haven't heard anything out of that. But he just requested prayer. And by the way, the whole family loves it here, as well as Ben and Barbara loves it here as well. So praise the Lord for that. That's awesome. Remember these requests. Brother Jim Jr., he had mentioned a missionary up in Canada for some time now. I've called him out in prayer a few times. Ben Turner is his name, actually, and has brain cancer, I believe it is. He's in his 40s. He was supposed to start chemo, I think, today, and then Jim texted me just a bit ago and said, I believe that's postponed or put off. But do remember him. And also, Brother Jim's son-in-law is having surgery, was or did have surgery today. So please remember them in your prayers when you pray. All right. Well, does someone have a prayer request or update?
CeCe.
Sharing that, we'll be praying. Anyone else? Mary? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We'll be praying for this situation for sure. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Thank you, Diddy. Meant to mention her Sunday night, but the Lord knew about it. Sherry Croft at Children's Home works up front in the office. Her husband passed away today. So, from my understanding, Brother Snyder said that she was sick and couldn't be around him. Remember this request, prayer for Sherry and the family. Anyone else? Hassan? Okay, prayers for Israel. We'll make sure everything's going on. They won't have to turn into Samson tonight and take care of something. That sounds like something's in the vents. Oh, you never know around here, do you? All right, well, if it's a possum or raccoon, they need to get saved. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Oh, me. Good times, good times. Miss Cassie, good to have you back. Absolutely. We'll certainly remember this prayer. Anyone else? Monday at 11. That's Sherry's husband. Sherry's husband. You say Stan? Stan, okay. All right. Monday at 11 o'clock, West Cobb. Anyone else? All right. All other unspokens? Just remember those. Remember one another on those. The Lord sees every one of them. And let's remember, of course, Don and Carla are back in Peru. And Lee Ellen and Miss Mary. Where is it that they're at? What state is that? I thought Ohio, but then I thought so. So they're up in Ohio till like next week, babysitting, and then Stephen and Krista, I believe, are in the Dominican Republic on a mission trip, and I believe the mission there has to do with sex trafficking, and so wow, what a mission to go on, and what a great need to have people help with that, and. So let's remember them in prayer as well. Anybody else before I make some announcements? Yeah. Angela. Absolutely. Let's remember Angela tonight. Angie, anyone else? Let's just remember our children's home. Remember our youth services downstairs tonight as they teach our young people. And Lily has another visitor with her tonight, another friend, Amelia from school. And so that's exciting. So just remember them. And like we always pray on Wednesday nights, just for the Lord protect us while we're here as we worship. We pray that for Sunday morning, Sunday night services as well. But specifically on Wednesday nights, I pray that here. So let's remember that. Remember tomorrow. Here in the fellowship hall at 11 o'clock will be the ladies' prayer brunch. And so make plans of being here for that, you ladies, if you can. And the Thanksgiving dinner will be on the 19th at 5 o'clock on Sunday night downstairs as well in the fellowship hall. All right. Anything else to mention before we pray? Pray for Israel tonight. Lift them up in prayer, great nation. And remember our own land as well. All right. All that would, meet us in the altar. We'll have a time of prayer together. And Brother Jeff has a song for us. blessing. What a blessing. Bible drill. Everybody ready?
Yes.
Got your swords ready? All right. Any readers tonight? Raise your hand if you want to read. Miss Sharon. Mary Kelly. All right. Don't need a whole lot. Okay. Brother Jeff. We'll work from the triangle right here for now. And we'll go from there. We'll go from there. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles and make your way to Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter number 3. Who agrees tonight that communication is important in relationships? Everybody agree to that? When the communication is broke down, one person don't know what the other person's doing, then there's going to be chaos. It's going to be chaotic. And it will not be a good thing in a relationship. I think about 911 operators. When there's a problem in the community, somebody will call 911. Hey, I need someone down here at the Waffle House. The waffles are burning. It has caught the stove on fire. Waffle House will be in ashes if you don't hurry up. And what if the 911 operators, you know, missed that call? Or what if they weren't properly trained? Then we wouldn't have a Powder Springs Waffle House, would we? Minus the one over here. But communication is important. In marriages, of course, communication is important. Being a parent, grandparent, great-grandparent. So we all agree that communication is very, very important. Tonight I want to talk for a few moments on the subject of prayer. Y'all just stay with me now. Stay with me. This is one of those subjects where I know not so much you guys because you're prayer warriors. I know you are. You're interested in prayer. You pray. You support our prayer ministry here at the church. But this subject is some hear about the subject of prayer being announced, and they kind of just tune out the teacher or the preacher. But don't tune me out tonight. I know you won't. But I want to talk to you about prayers Jesus prayed. Prayers Jesus prayed. And I just want to visit some places where Jesus prayed. And I want to try to make application to our lives when we pray. So what is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is just simply communication with God. It is talking to Him. And we know that prayer is us talking to God, telling the Lord that we love Him, telling the Lord how thankful we are for His blessings, but it's also a time where we express our supplications, our prayer requests. Always try to, whenever I pray, to go to God with thankfulness first. It's something that I have to practice. You know, it's kind of like, there again, I'm throwing Lily in the mix tonight. She's so easy to pick on. But if Lily always came up to me, Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have that? Why, she would get to my heart, of course. But I would like to hear on occasion, Dad, thank you for what you've given. Dad, thank you for taking me to Dairy Queen after school last week. I really enjoyed that. And so much like that, but in our relationship with God, I like to start out with thanksgiving first. And I believe Scripture supports that, to start by thanksgiving. And then let our requests be made known unto God. But that's our prayer. That's communication with God is prayer. Us talking to the Lord. But then the Lord talks to us through His Word. And so there's a relationship. There's communication taking place. And when we're reading His Word or we're listening to His Word and we're talking to Him. I mean, listen, we don't have to get face down on the floor to talk to God. Although that is... it's biblical. It's an expression of the heart. It's an attitude of heart. But you can pray kneeling. You can pray, again, laying on your face. You can pray standing up. You pray with your eyes closed. Just don't do it when you're driving. Pray with your eyes open. You can just what I think prayer is, it tells us to pray and not faint. Prayer is a continuation of talking to God. It's an attitude of heart. It's an atmosphere of prayer. And just whispering a prayer throughout the day, keeping the communication going between you and the Lord. You may be driving down the road and, just within yourself, in your spirit, say, Lord, I love you. Lord, protect me today. Lord, if there's an opportunity, give me courage to walk to that door of opportunity to witness to someone. Just a whisper of prayer. Going through the supermarket, going through the grocery store, just thinking about God is a type of prayer. And keeping it going throughout the day. This is communication with the Lord. So again, tonight I want to mention some things about the prayer life of Jesus and make application to our lives. Prayer was important, and it was an important part of the life of Christ, as we all know. And so if Jesus needed to pray and fellowship with his Father, how much more do we need prayer in our lives? First of all, we're here in Luke chapter number 3. Notice, if you would, verse number 21. One prayer Jesus prayed was at his own baptism. The Bible says, Luke 3, verse 21, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open." So Jesus prayed at his own baptism. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful picture here that we have of Jesus in prayer. When John baptized him there in the Jordan River, introducing him to the world as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And so that's a great thing. But I want you to notice what followed his baptism. Chapter 4, verse number 1. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil." You've heard this before, but it's so true. Many times after great spiritual events take place is when Satan zeroes in on us the most. You can go one day having a great spiritual encounter with the Lord, just a great day in general in your life. You know, really feel like you're connecting with God, and you have peace in your spirit, and things are going accordingly. And then out of nowhere, bam, the old slew foot tempter entered into the picture. And so many times this takes place. On the same token, I see Jesus being baptized, and I thought about this today as he was being baptized and as he prayed. I thought about how many people get saved and get baptized and think, well, all my troubles are over. Some even preach and share that once you become a Christian, you're home free. Life is great. Life is grand. There's not going to be no more battles, no more struggles. I really don't know where that's at. Someone evidently who is not a Christian had said that. Because this attack actually followed his baptism. And so when a person gets saved, not that Jesus got saved, but when a person does get saved, then there is a mark upon your back, upon your life. There's a scope from the devil trying to hinder you and stop you. And so we see that that followed this great spiritual encounter. Again, chapter 4, verse 2, "being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." And we won't look no more into that story tonight. We've got a ways to go. But number one, we see that Jesus prayed at his baptism. Now, turn, if you would, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 1, starting in verse number 35, we see that Jesus prays before his first preaching tour. Mark 1, verse number 35. Miss Sharon, do you want to read verse number 35 through 39 for me?
"And
Thank you. That's reading verse number 35 through 39. Jesus prays before his preaching tour. How about that? Verse 35, it tells us, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. And so we see that he rose up early in the morning, and he found that quiet place, and he prayed. I do suggest to have a time in the morning of prayer. I know it's different for some people. Some work the night shift, and then and so they come home and they go to sleep. And then for those who work, some work night shifts, and then some work day shifts. And you know, the rest of us tonight, whatever we do during the day, our routine, it is a great thing to start the day in prayer if you can, before the day takes place, before events start taking place, before you get in jams, before you get into dilemmas. This is an opportunity to get the heart and the mind in sync. Sometimes when I wake, my heart is ready, but my head is not ready for the day. And there's other times where my head is ready, but my heart's not ready. And then there's those days where my heart nor my head is ready. And so this is an opportunity before the battles start, before you get chewed out somewhere during the course of the day by someone, before you get cut off in traffic, before the employer gives you a pink slip, before you get that terrible phone call, this is an opportunity to prepare, get our hearts and minds in sync. It's an opportunity to commit the day to Christ. Many times things come, and things do come suddenly and unexpectedly. And you know, we're all human, and we get shocked, and we get, you know, sometimes fearful of things that happen. But we'll have a better opportunity to embrace those things and handle those things if the spiritual man is ready before the day ever gets going. And so, of course, this is something that has to be cultivated through the years of your Christian life. I know, the 19th of this month will be 21 years for me. And it's taken every bit of 21 years to get into a regular prayer habit, to see the importance of it, of talking with God and reading from His Word, even if it's just a one text verse, a one-liner, something to chew on, something to meditate on, something that, sometimes I read some verses and then a verse jumps out to me and I say to myself, wow, I got to chew on that a little bit. There's something going on in this verse. And so sometimes it's a whole book of the Bible. Sometimes it's a chapter. Most of the time it's a verse or a word, and I don't bite off too much that I can chew or handle. I just take a word, a verse, I pray, I hit the door, and throughout the day, a little bit here, a little bit there. And before I know it, it makes sense, and the Lord turns a light on. And just communicating with God early in the morning before you get going. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that I love our, I say back porch, but it's a back patio at our house. And I love going back there. I turn the ceiling fan on out there. I sit out there. We have woods behind our house, but behind those woods, it's just a little stretch of woods. There's houses. And so it's pretty secluded. It's just me. You look down that way, all you see is a line of houses going around, line of houses going around there. It's my quiet place. It's my happy place that I go to. And during the fall time, when all the leaves fall off the trees, then you can see the neighbor's houses through the woods. Not that I'm spying on anybody, but one of the neighbors particular behind us on the other side, they have a strand of lights. Some people decorate their porch with, you know, those lights, dinner lights, or just some kind of, not holiday lights, but they line their whole back fence up. And in the evenings when I'm back there and the leaves are gone, I can see those lights lighting up through the woods, my whole backyard. I mean, it's just a very, very nice thing. I love it back there. My happy place. Find you a happy place, whatever time of the day it is, more specifically in the morning. But if you can't do that, do noon, do evening, and work your way up to a routine habit by starting off in the morning. This is an opportunity to get our hearts and minds in sync, opportunity to commit the day to Christ. And so we see that Jesus here in verse 35, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. There he prayed." And we know this took place before he started his preaching tour, is what we read. All right. Now, turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter number 5. Brother Jeff, would you read verse number 16, Luke 5, verse 16? Here we see, in like manner, that Jesus again withdraws to a private place to pray. Doesn't give a certain time of day, but it just says that he withdrew himself from the crowd. Luke chapter number 5 and verse 16, when you're ready, Brother Jeff. I want you to notice here that the crowd was thronging upon him. Verse 15, the Bible says, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." So he was being pushed. They were thronging him. Again, the fame and what the Lord has been doing was noised abroad. His fame, the Bible says. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus felt it necessary to leave. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Wait a minute, this is God Almighty in the flesh. Why did he withdraw himself from the crowd and from all the things that he was doing and the opportunities that he had to do more? Why did he withdraw himself? I'll tell you why. Not only was he the Lord God Almighty, but he was the God-man. He was the God-man. He was 100% God, but he was 100% man. And he felt the need to withdraw from the noise of the world and pray to his Father. If Jesus has to withdraw himself, if he withdrew himself from the noise of the world to talk to the Father, how much more do we need to do the same thing? The Bible talks about when you go into your prayer closet and shut the door. Sometimes in life, we need to shut the door on some things because we're dealing with it. We're wrestling with it. We're trying to conquer it. We're trying to deal with all these things in life. And sometimes it does get to be a little too much. Anxiety and stress and fears and concerns and all of that. Sometimes you just got to shut the door for a while, withdraw yourself, pray. Talk to Jesus. Jesus did that because he got his strength from his heavenly Father. You and I also have to plug in and receive our strength from our heavenly Father. So we see that there's prayers Jesus prayed in the Bible and the New Testament here. And here we see that he withdrew himself to a private place to pray. He withdrew from the noises of the world. All right, we're in Luke 5. Flip over a page or look over to the right, if you would, to Luke 6. Luke 6. And Miss Mary Kelly, you want to read verse 12 and 13 out of Luke 6 for me? For us? So, thank you. We're familiar with the apostles. We've been reading about them and studying them and going through the names of the different apostles. And so, yet again, we see that Jesus, he prayed before he made a decision. He prayed before he made a decision. We throw that around a lot. Well, did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? Oh, yeah, I prayed about it. I mean, how many times do we really pray about decisions we make? Now, I know there's small things. Like, what do I want, McDonald's or Wendy's? You know, you don't pray about stuff like that. I mean, you could if you wanted to. You know, things that are that mean something, things that could change your life, moving, taking a new job, leaving the job, where you go to church, and all of those things, it is always good to pray before we make decisions, because the Lord can make impressions upon the heart. He can steer. He can move. He can shut things down. He can open things up. And and so when we go to Him in prayer over a decision we have to make, He does guide and direct. The question is, are we open to where He guides and directs? I used to think that, well, let me say it this way. When you pray, it's either yes, no, or now's not the time, not right now. Would everybody agree with that? That, you know, and so Jesus, I used to think that, Lord, I used to pray about certain things in particular back at Floyd Road. You know, we were eager to leave and launch out from that nest where we used to go to church, and I was, at first I was praying about, you know, being a cop, and I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to preach, but I wanted to be a cop too. Preacher, policeman, both P's. I wanted to do both. Pastor, preacher, policeman. One day I was cleaning up in the sanctuary when I was a building grounds man, and I found a police magazine. I said, oh, Lord, that's you. He's going to let me be a cop. He's going to let me run the streets of Austell and pull people over, and He's going to let me be a cop. I just knew that I was going to be a police officer. I just knew it. And so we left there, again, not getting to all the tidbits of what places we went, but went to the funeral home and went and worked at Georgia Tech and all of those things. And during that process, I actually applied to Powder Springs Police Department to be a policeman. And I thought for sure God was going to let me be a police officer. We'd already pastored our first church, and we were visiting around, and we'd visited Pleasant Hill. And so I had an appointment to go for a physical agility test. I was excited. I mean, I wanted my girls, you know, to see me in the police car and a uniform. And, you know, I mean, it would be a very awkward timing. It would be not, rookies get night shifts, 12 hours. Christy would be getting up, go to work, and I'd be coming in, and we clap hands and hug each other's neck, and that's it. I mean, it'd have to work perfectly. The very day I was supposed to go in for the physical agility testing, I got a call from Pleasant Hill. They said, Brother Justin, would you come preach for us tonight? And I was just like, are you kidding me? And so I told Christy, I said, Christy, Pleasant Hill wants us to preach. This is one service. This could be a career over here, you know. And she said, well, what is your heart telling you? What is the Lord telling you? What's in your heart? And when I got deep down in my heart, I knew what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to preach. And so went to Pleasant Hill, and we were there for a while. And, of course, now we're here, and praise the Lord that we're here now. But I thought that, you know, well, Lord, I'm praying to be a police officer. So it's not happening. So, you know, I guess the Lord isn't answering. Well, He did answer. It was a no. It was a no. And so the Lord is answering prayer tonight. It's either yes, I believe this, or it's either no. And maybe in the duration of time, it'll come to pass, but the longer I live, the more I pray, the more I experience, it's either yes or it's either no. And so we see that the Lord Jesus, He prayed before He chose His 12 apostles. All right, something else tonight concerning prayers that Jesus prayed. Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. Mark 6. In Mark chapter number 6, verse 45 through 47, Jesus prays for the disciples when He sends them into a storm. Mark 6, verse number 45. Listen to this. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. I want to pause there for a moment. Jesus is praying here. He exited the apostles and went up to the mountain to pray. Now, okay, they may have been thinking, okay, well, here, Jesus, he's praying to the Father again. We're going to let him do what he feels like he needs to do. But we're in this ship, and we're told to go on and to the other side. And so Jesus is praying there alone. Well, the very next verse, verse number 48, the Bible says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Here we see that Jesus prays for the disciples when he sends them into a storm. And so what Jesus was doing there before the storm even took place, he was praying for them. He was praying for them. He saw what they didn't. Lily has a song she sings here that says, he sees what we don't. And thank God for that he sees what we don't. Because we have a high priest, one who is interceding for us during our times of difficulty, even before we get there. So we may experience rough waters and times of testing, and it may be a shock to us, but it's not a shock to him. He's praying for us. He knows when these troublesome times come, and the Lord is actually praying for us. And so we see that he prayed for his apostles here. And he sees them, verse number 48. He saw them toiling, and he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Jesus sees us when we're struggling. And what a blessing that is to know that even if our situation doesn't change, he sees our toiling, our rowing. He sees our great difficulty. He knows about it. And so just by him knowing is a relief. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9, who else over there? Let's see, Miss Sharon, verse number 18. Jesus prays before he questions his disciples. Luke 9, verse number 18.
And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And so here's the proactive Jesus. He is proactive in prayer here. Jesus prays before he questions his disciples. And we see that there in verse number 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Just another occasion of prayer in the Lord's life there, him being proactive and being bathed in prayer, the situation bathed in prayer as well before he even encounters it. So Jesus prays before he questions his disciples. All right, we're in Luke 9. Look in verse number 28 and 29. Brother Jeff, verse number 28 and 29 here. Jesus prays on Mount Transfiguration. All right, we see here that Jesus prays on Mount, what we call Transfiguration, because he was transfigured. He was changed. And I think it goes without saying tonight that prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. The situation doesn't always change, but prayer changes us. I like this portion of Scripture where
The Bible says in verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white as glistening. He was transfigured, and his glory was shown there. Many times when it comes to transfiguring or transfigurations or transforming, I can't help to think about the butterfly. The butterfly. I've said it before, but I want to say it again. And so there's the larvae, like a little blob. There's a larvae on a leaf. And after a while, that larvae turns into, I'm kind of fast forwarding here, the caterpillar. All right? And the caterpillar one day crawls up to the tree. It sees the birds flying, and the birds are just flying from here, flying to there. It was nothing. And, of course, I'm animated with this. But the caterpillar says, man, one day I want to be able to do that. I wish I could fly. All I can do is just crawl around here, inch my way through. So it found a little spot in the tree and balled itself in. And in the duration of time, it kind of just turned itself into a cocoon. And while it was in that cocoon, it was dark. While it was in that cocoon, it really couldn't get out of the cocoon. It tried to push. It tried to break through the darkness to see a little bit of light, but never could. And so as time went on, the struggle, it was intense. It was hard. But finally, caterpillar was able to somehow get an arm through. It developed an arm in the cocoon. And then another arm came through. It developed another arm in the cocoon. And then finally, one day, it came forth out of that dark place, and it had wings, and it was flying, and it was able to do what those birds were able to do. And so I think about sometimes those dark times, those times where we don't understand life, those times where we may even question things. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? It's such a dark and miserable place that we're in at times. But I believe this with all my heart, that there is nothing that takes place in our life that isn't first sifted or filtered through the hands of God. God does allow dark times in our life from time to time because it's all about the struggle. It's all about, you see, there was something in the DNA of that caterpillar that made it turn to a butterfly. And there's something in the DNA of a Christian that knows Jesus as their personal Savior. Listen, we can't give up the fight. We got to keep on fighting. Why is it that, let's just say a year ago, someone said one time, well, I just don't think I can make it. I don't think I can make it another day. Here it is a year later, and you've made it. You see, you have righteous DNA that won't let you quit. You're here. You're going to make it. It's all about that struggle so that God can mature us and grow us. And so I think about that process when I think about Jesus, when he was transfigured. And so we see that he was transfigured here. He took the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Isn't that a blessing? It was a small circle, and they saw the transfigured Lord. Moses and Elijah as well were seen here. And when we walk with Jesus, if you walk close enough, you can see things such as this. You won't see him come down and be transfigured, but he'll show you his glory at times. He'll show you answered prayer and the miraculous that takes place, getting close enough to him. We see that here in Luke chapter number 9. Jesus prays on Mount Transfiguration. And so the takeaway there is that prayer changes things. Let's look at another one. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew 6, verse number 9. Matthew 6, verse number 9. We see that Jesus gives his disciples a model prayer, which was intended to teach them how to pray. Matthew 6, verse number 9 through 13. Listen to this. Make sure I'm here. I'm in Matthew 9, no wonder. After this manner, he says, therefore pray. Pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Of course, he goes on down and continues this sermon, really. Verse 14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And he continues on with this great sermon here. But it's known as, some say, the Lord's Prayer. But really, it's the model prayer. It's a model prayer. It's the structure on how to pray. He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Isn't it a blessing to be able to call God our Father through Jesus? He's our Father. We have a relationship. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Just talking about, Lord, thy will be done. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? We're about to get here in a minute. "Lord, if it be your will, let this cup of suffering, pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And so sometimes there's that cup of suffering. So he says, as a model prayer, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Sometimes it's tough to pray that. Then he says, "Give us this day our daily bread," spiritual provisions, "and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Talk about forgiveness. Verse 13, "And lead us not to temptation." Lord, protect us from the devil and temptation and the snares of the devil. Just a kind of a structured prayer to kind of teach us how to pray. We see that here. Jesus gives his disciples a model prayer, which was intended to teach them how to pray. John chapter number 11. Let's see, whose turn is it in my triangle over there? John 11. Mary Kelly, is it your turn? If you want to read again, John chapter number 11, verse number 39 through 42. We'll bring it to a close in just a few moments. John 11. Yeah, if you just want to read verse John 11, verse number 39 through 41, that'd be fine. And I'll read the other half. Yeah, there you go. All right, thank you. Verse number 40 says, "Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Jesus prayed here for Lazarus that he would come forth from the grave, and that's exactly what he did. He raises Lazarus from the dead. To simplify things, people have many different thoughts about this occasion. Of course, the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. And people have their many ideas on that. But I like this approach to this. If you can look at it this way for a moment. Here's Lazarus in the tomb. And here's Jesus on the outside. And there was something in the middle between them. It was the stone. And so, is there anything between us and the Lord? Just a very simple thought there. Is there anything that is blocking or hindering our relationship with God? That's just a simple thought. But then I like this, when he came forth, of course he said, Lazarus, come forth. And many people say, well, he said Lazarus because if he didn't, everybody that was dead would come forth. All right? So he said, Lazarus, come forth. I like it that he did call him by name. Jesus knows our name. He knows our number. He knows how to get our attention. He works in our life. But in verse 44, he came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. He was bound when he came out of that tomb. He had to be unbound. And so Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Only Jesus can loose a person who's bound with sin. The power of God unto salvation. Jesus can allow someone to kick old habits that linger, things that have us bound, things that have us struggling. Jesus can allow us to be loose from that. Just another simple thought there. And so we see here that Jesus gives his disciples, or Jesus prays before he raises Lazarus from the dead. All right, I want to finish this out reading a few more, and then we'll be through. Not now, but maybe later. In John 17, the whole chapter, Jesus prays between the upper room and his arrest. If you would like to read that later, this would be the real Lord's Prayer. He's talking about the reason why he came and what he was going to do, talking with the Father. That's John 17. Jesus prays between the upper room and his great arrest. The real Lord's Prayer there. Then, of course, we have the prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. There was at least three times Jesus prayed there. In Matthew 26, I'll just give it to you, verse number 39. Actually, all three times are mentioned that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane here in Matthew 26. Notice this in verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The second time he prayed is in verse 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Then the third time is mentioned in verse 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. At least three times Jesus prayed here. And then there was prayers while he was on the cross. Jesus prays three times there on the cross. Now this isn't to be confused with the different sayings on the cross. There was more sayings on the cross than three, but there were three prayers. Luke chapter number 23. Notice this, verse number 34. Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast lots. You don't have to turn it. I'm jumping around quickly. But in Matthew 27, listen to this, verse 46. Matthew 27 and verse 46 says this. In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The God-man cried out to his Father and said, why? Someone said one time, you don't question God, why? Let me tell you something. Whoever says that ain't never experienced anything. Because there are times where we don't understand life, nor do we understand God. And the Bible says in James that if any man lack wisdom or understanding, let him ask of God. And the Bible says that God will give it to him. I'm not saying disrespectfully charge God, but hey, we just don't understand sometimes. There's things tonight that I just have to put away that I don't understand, because there is no explanation other than the Lord knew about it and it happened the way it did. He could have intervened, but he allowed it to happen. So we leave it with him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then lastly tonight, and we're through, Luke 23:46. Just listen to this. Luke 23:46. He says this, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The third prayer from the cross. So we see the prayers from the cross, the prayers there in the Garden of Gethsemane. We just serve a Lord tonight who was a praying Lord, and he's an intercessing prayer, praying Lord now there in the throne room praying for us. So that's the lesson tonight, just prayers that Jesus prayed. And again, communication is very important, as you know. Thank God for our 911 operators who communicate. Thank God for the relationships that we have where communication is well, because without communication, the relationship breaks down. But with Jesus, we have an open invitation to pray and to hear from him in his word. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Just a simple study, a reminder about prayer, that we have a praying church. We've seen prayers answered, Lord, even with here lately. We're 2 for 2 on the HeartCast. Thank you for moving on Brother Chuck on Monday, and then, of course, Brother Bobby when he had his heart cath and no stents needed. And, Father, all for the other answered prayers that you have prayed, that you have answered around here. Father, sometimes you answer prayer in a different way than we prayed. But, God, at the end of the day, not our will, but thy will be done, God. I pray that you'd strengthen us spiritually, physically, mentally. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways to our homes, and bring us back safely on Sunday to worship you. Give us an awesome service on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Anything to mention before we dismiss?